All costs can be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week supply with your order. That's 888-827-7549. Call 888-827-7549.
President Trump on Twitter calling for Republicans to get rid of the filibuster in the Senate.
On Twitter, President Trump demanded the Senate move to a 51-vote majority to pass individual bills without the risk of a Democratic filibuster. Trump wrote, "If Republicans are going to pass great future legislation in the Senate, they must immediately go to a 51-vote majority, not senseless 60. Even by taking away the filibuster, the skinny repeal of Obamacare would not have passed, but the president may have his eyes set on other legislative initiatives."
White House spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders responding to questions from reporters about infighting among the Trump administration.
The president likes that type of competition and encourages it. The people that are here because they love the president, they love this country, and they want to see the best things happen. And sometimes you're going to have different ideas come to the table. That's all we're talking about.
The parents of 11-month-old Charlie Gard say their son has died. Gard was a British boy that the British government refused to allow to come to the U.S. for experimental treatment, saying that he needed to die. USA Radio News.
We alarm our houses and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply.
For years, doctors have told you to take all of your antibiotics as prescribed so that your infection doesn't come roaring back. Now, some doctors say that may not be the case.
Some experts who spoke to the British Medical Journal say there isn't enough evidence to support the idea that ending an antibiotics dose early encourages resistance to the drugs. They say it's possible stopping early could help cut antibiotic use. They admit more studies are needed. Others say feeling better doesn't mean a patient is actually free of an illness or an infection. Also, doctors say changing what they call the mantra of always taking the full course of antibiotics will confuse people.
The violent protests in Venezuela continuing to ramp up as they draw closer to a vote that would allow the president to make himself essentially a despot.
The protests are over President Nicolas Maduro's plan to elect a new constituent assembly. The fear is the move will allow Maduro to rewrite the constitution, giving himself more power. Protests have been going on for months, with violence escalating in advance of the elections. The U.S. government has ordered family members of embassy employees to leave the country as the political crisis deepens.
A Massachusetts woman was very shocked when she received a recording on her phone from her Amazon Alexa as it was being stolen during a break-in. The voice on the recording? Her 9-year-old neighbor. The Gloucester Times says that the Alexa captured the boy's voice from the Echo device he stole. The boy denied the thefts, but confessed after faced with the recording. He's now facing charges in juvenile court. USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Well, good afternoon, Hunterdon. Well, beautiful day today, the Friday, the 28th, when most of us have to work. And, of course, what's going to happen this weekend? Most of us know that the Balloon Festival is taking place. I think it's starting tonight. And what's going to happen? Because people want to go out tomorrow. And once again, weekend is here, although this afternoon we only had a slight chance of showers, and I don't think it's been raining anywhere that I know of. Tonight there's about a 70% chance of heavy rain, and then tomorrow... tonight, It's, as I said, before 9 p.m., it only chance of showers, but then tonight later, after 11 p.m., possibly a thunderstorm. And so that's going to be later tonight. So it sounds like this is a fun night to go out to the Balloon Festival. Unfortunately, tomorrow, showers are likely, mainly before 3 p.m., and then a chance of precipitation is 70% heavy rain later. So the Saturday night, again, 70% chance of showers, and late night, not quite as heavy, but chance of only about 30%. Excuse me. So the day to go to the Balloon Festival or try to get out anywhere is going to be sunny, although it's only partly sunny, at least that's the prediction. It'll be high of 78 degrees, so it really should be a beautiful day. And again, partly sunny on Monday, and then by Tuesday, a high of about 85 degrees and mostly sunny. So we'll be right back after we play a spot from one of our sponsors, and we'll talk about what's happening in the legal news.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Okay, the program It's the Law, and we're talking about some of the legal news. Haven't done that for a few weeks. And so let's, what is happening? Well, one of the things that we know that there has been negotiations, and so the balloons can go up at the Balloon Festival, even though the president may be in New Jersey this weekend. However, let's talk about some of the decisions of the courts in the past couple weeks. One, and this is really important for a lot of people. And you may think, well, what am I talking about? I'm talking about expungement. But for someone who's led a great life but may have had some legal problems when he or she was younger, especially drug-related offenses, there is a possibility of getting, a good possibility, actually, of getting that expunged. And there is a new case published, approved for publication, and that was State of New Jersey versus KS, and it was a law division case, so that means that it was not an appellate case, but it was a law division case, and in this case, the trial judge said, in granting a petition for expungement of a criminal record under the Drug Court Act, this opinion lays out the history and the intent of the statute. So it really is important for anyone who is looking for expungement to read that case. And I'm sure that lawyers that handle these cases probably have all of these things down. But it looks like it's a very good place as far as that case, 18 pages, to really understand the concepts governing the determination that a participant has successfully completed the program and has earned an expungement. So this is specific to drug court. In other words, there's certain things that someone going through drug court has to do. In other areas, when there has been some type of offense, there's a procedure after 10 years to have it expunged. And people should think of that before, you know, all of a sudden there's a crisis and they would have a problem because they don't have or they have a criminal record. So that is the new case, and it deals basically with expunging a criminal record under the Drug Court Act. And for anyone who is not familiar with that act, it's NJSA 2C:35-14, and this specific area is paren small m and paren. Now, there was a case with the Supreme Court and decided by Supreme Court, and what happened in that case is the court said, having closely examined the record, the court rejected the appellate division determination that the chancery judges in charge of these matters abused their discretion. So this is, it was about health care law and contracts. So that, I have not read that case. It sounds like it's very specific to that issue. And then there was another, actually that was the same case. There were two cases, but they were basically the same issue. So that that came out earlier this week, those decisions. We also found out that Governor Christie has turned to another insider to serve as his top legal advisor through the last 6 months of the final term in his in office, and he's one of the staff lawyers, and that we'll be hearing more about that in the near future. And, of course, there was another case where there was a question of whether or not Judge Wolfson, who is now retired, whether or not his rulings would be challenged by the Township of South Brunswick based on the judge's long-term personal and professional relationship with a developer. Now, his past affordable housing rulings will stand, and that was at least the trial court decided that this week, and that may well be taken up on appeal. Now, our Governor Christie on Thursday, now this was a couple weeks ago, not this past Thursday, he vetoed Democratic-supported legislation that sought to bar the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey from enforcing President Donald Trump's March executive order restricting the entry of immigrants from a group of predominantly Muslim Middle Eastern countries. So the governor vetoed that bill. There's really been a lot of controversy over the NFL concussions and some of the studies that have come out, and probably that's more of a discussion on the sports guys, but at least the family of a deceased professional football player wants their suit against the NFL and the helmet maker, Riddell, severed from the consolidated litigation that's pending in federal court so that their case can be tried in state court. And there's always an issue. Obviously, this family wants their trial in state court and apparently feels that it's worth it to try to sever it. Now, there was a recent decision as far as family law civil procedure. I did mention that last week, and it was whether or not there can be a consent to jurisdiction, and it involved the consent to jurisdiction in New Jersey where a parent with a special needs child has relocated to Massachusetts. And the real issue is, in that case, is whether or not parents can continue to consent to jurisdiction in this state. There was another, this was a appellate case, and Judge Lejos was the wrote the opinion, and that was a case where the court reviewed the statutory requirements for a personal residence real estate exemption, a tax exemption. And they grant, and that's granted to certain disabled veterans and those who are honorably discharged. And I did, I think, briefly talk about this last week also. In other words, the issue here was whether or not the disabled veteran had served in active service in the time of war. And that was what was important about that. So what else is happening? Well, lots. But let me go to the first commercial break at this point and let you hear from some of our sponsors, and then I'll be back and talk more about, for example, the cancer patient who sued the Motor Vehicle Department for discrimination. So let's hear from a few of our sponsors, and then we'll be back.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
Chris, I know you plan ahead, but here it is. I'm bemoaning the fact that we're almost in the month of August, and you're talking about the expo on November 9th. But let's face it, I know you all have to plan way ahead of time, and if any of the listeners out there have not been to the expo, it's really a treat. It's, I think, from about 2 until 7. And later on, the restaurants compete, and there's some good food, and you run into everybody you know, and it's just a fun afternoon, early evening. So I guess we're going to have to start promoting the expo, and so let me be the first, in addition to Chris, and tell you that it is on November 9th, and it will be in a new location, not where it was last year. But in any event, let's get back to the news. I told you that I was going to tell you about a cancer patient who sued Motor Vehicle for discrimination. Well, what happened is the woman had lost her hair as a result of chemotherapy. And she filed suit claiming that a Motor Vehicle Commission employee repeatedly ordered her to remove her head wrap for her driver's license photo instead of allowing this woman, who obviously had no hair, to have the photo taken with her head wrap. And so whether that suit will go anywhere, we'll certainly know in the future, because that's something that's reported on. So what happened, there's another case with respect to legal issues, and that is a former patent attorney for the French cosmetic giant L'Oreal alleged that he was fired for standing up for ethical legal practices. And that case had been dismissed in its early stages, but now a federal appeals court has reinstated the case, saying the claims, quote, were more than skin deep. I guess, ha-ha, because it's L'Oreal. But this is an issue that whether or not this employee was fired because he stood up for ethical legal practices. And, of course, as an attorney, any attorney must stand up for ethical legal practices. And if, in fact, that was the reason that this attorney was fired, it would be more than inappropriate. So there was also a federal judge has entered judgment in New Jersey in a civil suit brought on behalf of plaintiffs who were caught in traffic jams brought on by the September 2013 George Washington Bridge closures. So that suit is going nowhere, unless possibly to the appellate division. There was a civil rights case, Denise Brown versus State of New Jersey, and that was went up to the Supreme Court, and Judge LaVecchia said that and decided, in light of the context in which the circumstances arose, that the a qualified immunity applies. And what happened is the justices said that the lack of clarity in the law governing the lawful means by which law enforcement may secure a home pending issuance of a warrant, and then also significantly that the law's intersection with the law governing exigent circumstances, and because exigent circumstances is an exception to the warrant requirement. In other words, there are some times when a officer coming into your house or searching your car does not need a warrant. In this case, the defendant, State of New Jersey, did not violate a clearly established right when he entered Denise Brown's home to secure it. And therefore, the justices said qualified immunity applies. Interesting case. Because it was the question here, and maybe the legislature needs to go back to the drawing board to see if they can make that the law clear in light of the fact that the justices felt that there was a lack of clarity in that issue. After plaintiffs successfully defended against litigation brought by defendants challenging approval for their shopping complex. The plaintiffs filed a complaint against the defendants, their attorney, and his firm, alleging the litigation was a sham and intended only to gain advantage over a competing business. Now, this was a case of first impression, and the court adopted the holding in another case, Hanover 3201 Realty versus Village Supermarkets, and that was a Third Circuit case. In this case, the court concluded that when determining whether a litigant is entitled to immunity under the specific doctrine, the motion judge was required to consider the allegations in plaintiff's complaint that the litigation was part of a pattern of sham litigation brought by defendants for the purpose of injuring market rivals rather than to redress actual grievances. So that is a very specific ruling that certainly won't apply in most cases, but anybody who, it's certainly a case that the litigation and the attorneys who handle these kinds of cases are going to be reading with interest. There was also a medical malpractice case that was published this week, and it had the plaintiff was Norma Elrich, and the defendant was Jeffrey Sorokin. And this was in the appellate division, and the decision was based on after suffering complications from a colonoscopy and other procedures, the plaintiff filed a medical malpractice complaint against the defendant alleging negligent treatment. And then prior to the testimony at trial, the plaintiff moved what we call in limine to exclude evidence of her informed consent, arguing that such evidence was irrelevant because she said she did not raise a claim for lack of informed consent. Now, the judge denied her motion, and the parties discussed the evidence at trial. Now, this was, the judge said, a case of first impression in New Jersey, and the appellate court followed the principle adopted by various out-of-state courts that informed consent evidence is irrelevant and prejudicial when the issue is negligent treatment. And they came to that conclusion because the error here in this case was not harmless, and therefore they reversed the no-cause jury verdict and remanded the matter for a new trial. So the plaintiff in that case lost at trial, filed an appeal, and then won at the appellate division, and winning makes it possible for her to go back and retry the case. Not that they're going to win, but that they have a chance to retry it. I'm going to play a couple spots now and come back with a little more news. I want to catch my, have a frog in my throat, so we'll be back shortly.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Together we're going to restore safety to our streets and peace to our communities. And we're going to destroy the vile criminal cartel MS-13 and many other gangs.
President Trump at a gathering of law enforcement officers in New York announcing a plan to come after the violent MS-13 gang.
MS-13 is particularly violent. They don't like shooting people because it's too quick. It's too fast.
Republican senators sounding off on last night's failure to pass a repeal of Obamacare. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy says the real loser is the American people.
Tough loss. It's not a loss for the Republican Party. It's a loss for the American people.
An 11-month-old Charlie Gard, the child that the British government said had to die from his genetic disease rather than get treatment in the United States, died today. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention all men. Did you know that bladder control problems are very common? If you or a loved one is suffering from male incontinence, please listen to this important message from Men's Liberty. Because bladder control problems do not need to keep you from living an active life any longer.
Using Men's Liberty, we can go places, and I don't feel I sense of anxiety.
Best of all, costs can be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week supply with your order. That's 888-827-7549. Call 888-827-7549.
Right now at the Home Depot, Ortho Bug Be Gone 32-ounce concentrate, ready to spray, or 10-pound bag is your choice, two for just 10 bucks. There's no magic to making bugs disappear, but there is Bug Be Gone. It'll knock out over 100 types of insects for fewer pests in your lawn and more money in your pocket. Start your own disappearing act with Ortho Bug Be Gone. Your choice, two for just 10 bucks, only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last, U.S. only.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Well, what else is in the news? A reminder that wealthy people want to wait a little bit longer before they die, because those of us that are aware, about a year and a half ago, more than that, the New Jersey estate tax exemption increased substantially, but we're still months shy of the tax outright elimination. Nation, if it gets eliminated, if the government doesn't come up with a new way to figure out how to take the money. But hang on there, wealthy people. It's still not eliminated, meaning the estate tax is still not eliminated. And there's controversy with that. I mean, many people will say, no, there should be no estate tax when you die. You've worked hard for that money. It's yours, and you should be able to do whatever you want. Other people say, well, you know, you're dead. Who cares? Tax it. And I guess it really depends on your philosophy. Certainly we need to raise taxes. Is this the best way to do it? I don't know. But we do know that at this point, at least at this stage, it is set to be no longer have an estate tax. Of course, they'll come up with something new. A federal judge has awarded legal fees to a hospital as the prevailing party in an ex-employee's whistleblower claim after the plaintiff could not name any laws or regulations. And that was according to the defendant. I don't know if he has. $230,000, and this was an appeals court has upheld the award of almost $230,000 to an attorney who worked for the city of Orange, who was fired after he refused to waive a workers' compensation lien on a city employee. And, you know, he was obviously right. You can't lift a lien. Liens are on property, and they, you know, there's a whole procedure that someone who has a lien has to go through. And this fellow was just trying to circumvent that. Now, there's the legislation that would have greatly expanded the 8-year-old paid family leave program was sent to sent back because there was a conditional photo. So let's... so far, that has been vetoed conditionally. The legislation itself would have expanded the state's eight-year-old paid leave program, and it was met with opposition and then a judge who didn't care if it was passed. He was going to get rid of it. And there was something, what they call civil procedure, it was a case Jones versus S. Jersey Industries, and in that case the plaintiff appealed a verdict for the defendant employer in his discrimination action, and the plaintiff contended that the jury instructions and the manner in which deliberations were carried out were fatally flawed. And so this fatal flaw gives him the right to appeal, and if the justices agree, they would send it back to the other, being the other employee. So apparently, during the jury selection on this case, the trial judge told the jury that they would have Fridays off. Defendant deliberately continued, but during deliberations, the jury asked several questions and received the changes in writing. Now, the second charge of the jury, and that's important to know. I mean, when the juries go in, are they unanimous? Have they all agreed on the same? Is there, instead of being unanimous, have the justices, taking everything into consideration. So in this case, the trial judge told the jury that they would have Fridays off, and then during deliberations, the jury asked several questions and received the charges in writing. And they said the second day of determinations. Well, the second day of determinations, the jury told the judge that they were stuck in a vote of 4-4. And instead of calling a mistrial at that time, the judge told them that they should keep deliberating, and then they were told to return the next day, which was a Friday. And usually there are not trials on Fridays, and that they would reach a verdict. And they planned on apparently reaching a verdict. They didn't just want the dinner that they would be entitled to receive. And actually, in this case, it was not a dinner. It was the was other things. And a court attendant said that one of the jurors was told to return the next day. The court attendant reported that the juror said he had a problem on Friday, but all jurors showed up the next morning and they reached a verdict. The plaintiff argued that the supplemental jury instructions were not supported by the weight of the evidence. So, what else? There aren't that many really interesting cases being reported right now. At least I don't think they're that interesting. Not too much going on, but it's summer. We should expect that, right? There was a New Jersey Supreme Court ruled that a youth ministry volunteer who also is a convicted sex offender can be prosecuted for violating his parole because the church camp where he worked qualified as a, quote, youth serving organization. So that's how the Supreme Court got around the appellate division case. And, of course, that was, really a very important. If somebody is alleged to have committed a sexual violation, you know what? You have to be very careful if there are exceptions. So that was the case here. Even though he was, worked at a church camp, he could still be prosecuted as a sex offender. So there was also someone, and we get a lot of the people who are Good Samaritans and are doing something in the artery, or truly dealing and working with our heart. But for this young man, that wasn't the case. So he needed to excuse me, we're going to take a short break here.
100 Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. 100 Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call 100 Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdenhealthcare.org.
Well, we're back, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about the case against that alleged sex offender working at a youth camp. I think what this case does and shows is that any employer who might be working with children or in any area where there could be a problem with a former, I shouldn't say former, but with a sex offender who is a convicted sex offender has to be very careful in hiring practices. So let me reiterate this again. The Supreme Court ruled that a youth ministry volunteer who is also a convicted sex offender can be prosecuted for violating his parole. And the reason for that is that the Supreme Court said that a church camp where this youth minister volunteered, it qualified as a, quote, youth-serving organization. So that was the criteria. Now, I would assume that if, in fact, he had any sexual contact with any of the children at the camp, the camp would also be sued, and rightfully so, because the allegation is going to be that they should not have had someone with this background working at the camp. And so that that would be a situation where, and it shows us how important it is if anyone is going to be around children, that you have to look very carefully at their background. So that is terribly serious. And then, of course, we have the lawsuits that we can expect over the mac and cheese. Pun is, of course, that could be hard for the courts to swallow. So many of us have heard about a report finding hazardous chemicals in boxed macaroni and cheese. And, of course, this is, an inexpensive and convenient meal, and most kids love macaroni and cheese. Of course, it's easy to make macaroni and cheese, but in any event, food safety lawyers say that any litigation over this issue faces formidable challenges. And I can certainly, although I don't do that type of litigation, I can certainly see the difficulties. Excuse me.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Excuse me, this cold of mine is really getting to me. I thought maybe it was an allergy, but I have a feeling it's a real cold. So let me try to get through this, and I do apologize. So what else is happening? Well, we heard about the mac and cheese. So let's see who's not being... should have thought about something before they did certain things. The former general counsel for VO Financial Corporation was sentenced to a year in prison for conspiring to obstruct justice in a federal criminal case against his boss. So, you know, that's something that everybody has to be very careful about. You have to be, people, bosses expect to be protected by employees, but only if it makes any sense. And in this case, he thought he was helping, and he's going to be a convicted felon, is going to spend some time in prison because he conspired to obstruct justice in a federal criminal case, and the criminal case was against his boss. Now, there's another New Jersey couple who are not too happy. This is a Tytton Falls couple who own two investment companies, and they're going to be paying $2.1 million to settle claims filed by the New Jersey Attorney General's office. Now, of course, if it's $2.1 million, you wonder exactly how much we were talking about, what they did when they violated the state securities law. Now, there's something in the news, legal news, about innocent spouses, and that is spouses filing joint returns. Everybody needs to know that both spouses are responsible for their tax obligations. However, recognizing the potential unfairness of holding spouses jointly and severally liable, that means that they're both equally liable, the Internal Revenue Service offers an innocent spouse relief in limited circumstances. But I can tell you that it's very limited. And in most cases, what the IRS is going to hold is that the so-called innocent spouse benefited from the tax fraud and therefore is liable. So if your spouse is underreporting income, for example, and in most cases the spouse and the family is going to benefit from that, so that it's going to be very difficult to claim innocent spouse immunity from paying back the tax. And so that the other thing that is really problematic is when you file a joint return, each party is responsible for 100% of the balance owed on the taxes. And often people don't understand that. They think they only are responsible to pay the share of taxes for their income. And that's not the case, neither in New Jersey nor federal law. I actually had a case fairly recently, and I was amazed, but my client was really concerned about her husband's business dealings and never filed joint taxes with him. In other words, she was employed. She, throughout the marriage, paid a higher rate because she filed married filings separately. But in fact, it turned out that he was not paying the taxes, was not reporting all his income. Now, whether or not the IRS was really going to catch up with him, I don't know, but I do know that at least my client does not have to worry because she wouldn't have reported him because she really didn't know what he was doing. But that was the problem. She had no idea of what he was doing. And so she paid her taxes and will have no problems dealing with the IRS if they ever go back against her former husband now. Some New Jersey lawyer lawmakers are sponsoring legislation that would prohibit anyone from publishing or posting certain contact information for judges, about judges, I should say, both active and retired, and prosecutors. In other words, they're trying to, make sure that certain things aren't published or posted, and about certain contact information. There's real concern among judges who are handling sensitive cases when their home is, on Facebook. I mean, one of the things about social media now, it's very easy for anyone to find out where someone lives, who their children are, what school they go to, and in fact, I had a situation where I represented a woman and her ex-husband, who was so angry about everything, was actually threatening judges on social media. So U.S. Senator Menendez has filed a new motion to dismiss corruption charges against him, finding hope in last week's appellate ruling reversing the bribery conviction of former New York Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver. And, let's not get into politics, but, we see this too often when there are allegations of, I guess it's greed when you think about it, or, certain things that just are not appropriate. But let me not get into politics because a lot of people don't share my views, including the fact that we really need to know how someone who in public office is earning their money, and because it certainly often can easily result in problems if, in fact, they have a conflict. So. They say that this high-profile litigation in Missouri over talcum powder might be beginning to cool down thanks to a recent U.S. Supreme Court decision, but this, what they call talc-related litigation in Pennsylvania, is beginning to heat up and may set a pattern, in the future. And, these are huge cases and generating on both sides huge fees and have potential real significant damages. In any event, there was another administrative law case reported, and that was and it said the holding was if an agency fails to timely act on an administrative law judge's initial decision by statute, it is, quote, deemed adopted and becomes final. So, and this is under the statute, so that the court in this case, the appellate division, held that when the lack of a quorum attributable to vacancies caused the agency inaction and the differential agency standard of review will not be employed. Instead, in that case, the court will review the decision using the standard for decisions rendered in bench trials. So that in this case, because the agency did not have a quorum, they didn't do an act on this administrative law judge's initial decision, but when they didn't do anything, it was deemed adopted. And this certainly seems very unfair, because why would the decision be adopted? In fact, it could have been a decision favorable to the agencies, and or not favorable to the agency. So that is, in fact, a published opinion, and it simply means that the appellate division would review it using a standard of review that would be a standard when we call bench trials. It means a trial by a judge, not a jury. So that then there is State versus Post Integrations, a case, and it was the court had been asked to determine whether a claim against a corporation arising from its alleged failure to pay certain statutory obligations owed to the state relates to taxes that are expressly excluded from the purview of the New Jersey False Claims Act. This type of law gets very complicated, and these cases get very complicated. So you, in ever involved in such a case, you have to get an attorney or a law firm that really knows how to handle these cases. And that's always amazing to me, how often people will just know an attorney and call that attorney up to handle a case. And unfortunately, some attorneys don't know when they're getting in over their head. But it's important if you have a criminal case. For example, I do no criminal work. I have people call me, clients and other people, and I certainly refer them out to attorneys who I know handle criminal matters and handle them well. Same thing, people think, oh, real estate is easy. Better have an attorney who knows real estate and deal with a good title company. They're not all the same. So there was a woman who lost vision in one eye during a procedure, and that obviously wasn't handled or didn't. The outcome was not just not good, but the whole thing procedure went awry. And she settled her case. It was medical malpractice for $1.35 million. So, frankly, a lot of people would say, oh, that would be great, but who wants to have the kind of problems that this woman is going to have in the future? And that pretty much wraps it up today. Sorry, it was more than a little boring. We'll be back with the sports guys after a short break in the news.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Together we're going to restore safety to our streets and peace to our communities. And we're going to destroy the vile criminal cartel MS-13 and many other gangs.
President Trump at a gathering of law enforcement officers in New York announcing a plan to come after the violent MS-13 gang.
MS-13 is particularly violent. They don't like shooting people because it's too quick.
It's too fast.
Republican senators sounding off on last night's failure to pass a repeal of Obamacare. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy says the real loser is the American people.
Tough loss. It's not a loss for the Republican Party. It's a loss for the American people.
An 11-month-old Charlie Gard, the child that the British government said had to die from his genetic disease rather than get treatment in the United States, died today. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road. In your